Colossians chapter 2 once again this evening. Colossians chapter 2, where we started this morning. We're going to finish up there tonight. And then in the weeks ahead, we're going to talk a little bit more about being rooted in Christ. Today is the why of being rooted in Christ. Why do we talk about it's being important to be rooted in Christ? And this morning, we kind of started in that, and the roots are so important. I was at a corn maze with my family this past fall, and for the very first time in my life that I can remember, I looked at the corn stalk, and at the bottom of the corn stalk, there was these things like coming off of the corn stalk. How many know what I'm talking about, the very bottom of the corn stalk? And I was like, what are those? It looked like alien tentacles or something. I said, what are those? And Olivia, I think you had just learned about it in school or something like that. And she began to teach me that it's not only the roots, but they're stable. So what are they called again? Prop roots. That's right, prop roots. And they stabilize the corn during storms and wind, and they're called prop roots. And I thought that was the most interesting thing in the world to see those things. I guess I had never paid attention inside the corn mazes. We did a corn maze together. It took us about 45 minutes to get through it. It was a blast. And I just kept seeing those prop roots, and it just kept bringing to mind the theme of this year and how so important it is. You know, you might not be the tallest tree. You might not be the strongest person, but I can tell you this. If your roots are deep, you'll make it through the storms. You'll make it through the droughts. You'll make it through the hard times of life. And so I'm very thankful that God says in Colossians chapter 2, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." By the way, that word order is the methodical arrangement of things. It literally means that every church and every group of people that are believers need to have order. Years ago, a pastor wrote a book called Order in the Church. It had a gavel on the front. And the first time I ever saw the cover, I went, whoa, you know, that's pretty strong. But as I started to read the book, everything ought to be done decently and in order. And here's what Paul says. He says, joying and beholding your order, beholding your methodical arrangement of things. There's got to be somebody in charge. There's got to be people that are assisting. There's got to be deacons that are helping the widows and the orphans and the serving of tables within the church. There's got to be people that are ministering. There's got to be people visiting. There's got to be monies going out for foreign missions. There's got to be a system to do that. The methodical arrangement of things. Paul says, I'm joyful to hear about that. That you've set up your church in a methodical, arranged way that everybody's just not doing whatever they want to do. I'm telling you, when there's no order in the church, things are done by murmurings and disputings. There's a lot of complaining that happens when people don't know what's happening. And so it's neat to see this church, that their order, and then he says this, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Steadfastness coming out of that arrangement. And it's all about Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And here it is, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so we talk about this morning, just as a by way of introduction, how important it is that we get our families back to being rooted in Christ. We are not going to grow up until we grow down. And we're not going to bear fruit until we take care of the root. We are not going to be a tree that flourishes if we're not a root that is steadfast. And so being rooted in Christ, rooted and built up in Him. And He says, what happens when you do that? You establish your faith. You establish what you believe. You know what you believe, and you know why you believe it. What an important thing. We said, first of all, this morning, it is so important to be rooted in Christ because false teachers and false teachings will abound in the last days. False teachers and false teachings will abound in the last days. I can tell you this, I'm not the only person preaching truth. There's a lot of great preachers out there. I felt like I just watched about 5 minutes of the YouTube. I always go back and just see how the live stream went and what it looked like. And, you know, if I have any annoying habits I've got to take care of. And so every once in a while I'll see one. I'm like, why do I do that? I need to stop doing that. I do this one a lot, you know. So I watched about 5 minutes. And I feel like I come across this morning like, don't listen to anybody out there. And that's not what I mean. There's some great authors out there. My wife asked me yesterday, she texted, she was out and about, and she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm reading. There's good books. Somebody said, I don't need no book but the Bible. And he's a goofball. You know, we need our Bibles, but there are people who have written wonderful books commentating on the Bible, or a subject from the Bible, or a subject about life, keeping your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. And some people have written about that issues, and people struggle with certain things. And I believe that there's great authors out there. I believe there's great preachers out there. My wife will tell you probably about 5 days a week, I put on my headphones at night, and I turn on YouTube, and I find one of my favorite preachers, whoever it might be, one of 50 or 60 guys I like to listen to, and I'll put on a sermon, and I'll just lay there in my bed and listen to preaching. There's a lot of great preaching out there. There's a lot of great churches out there doing a great work for God. I don't want to come across like you got to be just listening to Pastor Schwender and just listen to what we do and just the books we have. I don't want you to think that, but I do want you to know this. You've got to be careful. You've got to be careful what preachers and teachers you're listening to. You've got to be careful what books you pick up and you start to read and soak those things in. You've got to be very careful in this day and age, because in the last days, the Bible says, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers. Deceitful. That means they're not out there saying, hey, we're going the wrong direction. Just wanted you to know, hey, we're leading you in the paths of unrighteousness. We're trying to deceive you with your money. We're trying to deceive you with what you're doing with your life. They don't do that. The Bible says they're deceitful workers. It's behind the scenes. It's under the surface. It's they'll get you in and then teach you something that's not true. They'll lead you in a direction to away from it. I'm telling you, every one of those guys that I get weary of lead people away from the local church. And they're leading people away from the pastoral authority in their life, and leading children away from the pastoral authority and parental authority in their life that God has blessed in their life and given them in their life. And they become that person on television or on the radio or whatever the case might be. We've got to be very careful, because in the last days there are false teachers and false teachings that will abound. The Bible says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself transformed into an angel of light. And so we see how deceitful Satan can make it. And you say, well, I believe that guy's sincere. It doesn't matter about sincerity. Sincerity, I want to be a sincere preacher. But no matter how sincere I am, I've got to tell the truth. No matter how sincere I am, I've got to go stick to the Bible. No matter how sincere I am, I've got to rightly divide the Scriptures. And no matter how sincere I am, I've got to stand and be rooted in Christ. Not in the traditions of men. Not in the rudiments of men. The Bible says, number two, we not only need to be rooted because false teachers and false teachings abound in the last days, but number two, we need to be rooted because of our cultural drift away from God. It is amazing to me in Christianity what is becoming acceptable. I told you an example years ago, people trying to grow a youth group down in Tennessee. My wife and I were there. We saw the bulletin. The bulletin said this, and I quote, come to our youth activity Friday night. It will be our first ever wet t-shirt contest. That's a Christian church. That's a church trying to grow a youth group. And that was their advertisement for a Friday night youth activity. That was years ago. You know what that is? That's a cultural drift. That is horrible. deplorable behavior for a church. But I've seen churches, I turn on the television and they got the lights going, there's smoke coming out and people are jumping around in jeans and t-shirts and I'm thinking, what in the world? And they say, God is good. Listen to these words. You got to listen to the words, because if you listen to the music, you're going to get a headache. They're putting on a rock concert and what are we doing in churches? We're culturally drifting. We're culturally trying to keep up with the world. We don't have to keep up with the world. Listen, church still works. And listen, people ask me all the time, do you have anything against praise teams? I don't have anything against praise teams. And if you've got six talented people that can lead everybody singing a song, have six people lead everybody. We've got Richie. We don't need six people, man. Yeah. I don't mind an acoustic. I don't mind instruments. I don't mind that stuff. But listen, I'm telling you right now, our church will never culturally drift into the worldly type music. We have to guard that. We have to guard that so closely, because it's so easy to say, well, if we play this kind of music, or if we do this, or if we have this activity, or if we talk this way, or if we use this version of the Bible, then people will come to church. And God says, establish your faith. Do things in order. Do what I've told you to do. Do what I've taught you to do. And be rooted in Christ. Our job is to be rooted. If our root runs deep and it's in Christ Jesus, I can promise you, if we do it right, God's going to bless. I know that the leaves will not wither. I know we'll bear fruit in His season. I know if we'll just stay faithful, God will make us to prosper. I know that if we'll just do what God wants us to do, God will make it to prosper. Is there things we can do different? Absolutely. And methods can change. I'll just be very honest with you. We can't get stuck in 1975. We can't get stuck in 1995. We can't do it like your grandma did it. Sometimes methods change. But the message must never change. We must stay rooted in Christ. We can use projectors and we can use neat illustrations and we can have videos and we can do a lot of things and programs and activities and we can make it relevant and we can have a great time. But we've got to stay rooted in Christ because we've got to stay rooted in Christ because of the cultural drift away from God today. Number three, I want to give you this as a new one this evening. We need to be rooted in Christ because of the pull of our own flesh. We've got to stay rooted in Christ because of the pull of our own flesh. I don't know about you, but one of the biggest enemies I fight is not television. It's not the celebrities. It's not the politicians. It's not other preachers. It's not other things. You know, the biggest enemy I have is my own flesh. It is the one that trips me up so many times. I don't need to lose my temper. My flesh gets a hold of me. I don't need to say that, and I end up saying that. I sat across from a young man the other day, and I had to eat crow, and I had to apologize to him. Man, there's not a whole lot of things more humbling than sit down across from somebody and just apologize for being an idiot. But you know what? It's the right thing. Because when you're rooted in Christ, you've got to make sure that this flesh doesn't take over. The Bible says in Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." See, many of us would never join a cult. You're pretty grounded enough to know that Mama kind of was in this church, and Daddy was in this church, and you're in this church, and your children in this church, and you kind of figured out what direction you're going, and you're not going to join a cult, and you probably don't drift away very far, and you're here every service, and you're kind of pretty sure what you believe and how you believe it and why you do what you do as a family. But I'm going to tell you right now, we would never join cults and drift away and all of those things. We'll stay home from church on a Sunday. We'll forget to read our Bibles during the week. We'll allow ourselves to give in to bitterness and discouragement. Why? Not because of the cultural drift and not because of the false teachers, but because of your own flesh. Because your own flesh is pulling against the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is pulling against the flesh, and there's a tug of war for your heart and tug of war for your affections and a tug of war for your spiritual mind. Many times we let the flesh win. Many times we allow the flesh to get strong and we feed the flesh and we know that we ought not to do those things. We all know we need to be in the Word of God and we know where our weaknesses lie. And we know that if we don't meet with the Lord every day, we know that our temper gets the best of us and our eye gate becomes unguarded and our ear gate becomes susceptible to the things of the world. We know that. And you might not be listening out there to false teachers and you might not be giving way to the cultural drift of this day and you pretty much have set your standard of where you're going and how you're doing it and all those things. I'm going to tell you one of the greatest things that happens in Christianity is I'm watching people and their flesh pull them away from the Lord. You've got to be rooted in Christ because of the pull of your own flesh. Number four, we need to be rooted in Christ because of the constant barrage of the uprooting of the family. We have got to be rooted in Christ because of the constant barrage of the uprooting of the family. The very first thing that Satan did on this earth when he was cast out of heaven was he went after the family. He wanted a spouse and the other spouse to be on different pages. He wanted the two different spouses to be broken apart. He wanted the two different spouses to not see eye to eye. He wanted the two different spouses to be fighting and to be imperfect and to be ashamed of who they were. And from that point until today, the Satan has never stopped trying to get your family to break apart. He does not want strong marriages. He does not want strong marriages because he doesn't want strong churches. He doesn't want strong churches because strong churches grow and make a difference. And it all goes back to your family. Historically in America, many people were rooted through strong family relationships, their marriages and families. Today, however, we see family after family and marriage after marriage that publicly appear strong suddenly collapse. They smile. They shake your hand. They hold hands. They'll put on the show. And then you're meeting with one of them and say, I don't have any idea what happened. I came home and she was gone. I came home and he was gone. You say, how in the world did that happen? Because always, by social media, by entertainment, listen, I watch these commercials and they just drive down the husband and drive down the husband and he's a doofus and he's an idiot and he doesn't know what he's doing and he can't make a decision and the woman's got to rise up and figure out what cell phone we're going to use. Are you serious? It's a constant uprooting of the family. It's a constant, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's not going to provide for you. She's not going to be faithful to you. She's not going to love you for the rest of your life. And how could you commit yourself to one person for the rest of your life? That's impossible. The worldly philosophy can creep into your family if you're not careful. You don't need the worldly philosophies to parent your children. You are their parent. You're not their buddy. If you're a buddy, praise the Lord, but you better be the parent. There's time later in life, and I think my parents are some of the greatest friends I have. I can call my mom anytime and tell her how much I love her and thank her. And I don't have to listen to a whole lot of what she says anymore. Praise the Lord. The other day she said, how are you feeling? I said, oh, my throat is hurt. She's like, well, you need to do this, 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 and this. And I said, no. I don't have to listen to you. I love you, but I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to my wife. And my wife said, don't do anything. So there. My mom put echinacea and then squirt some honey and shave off some ginger and then gargle. Whatever, man. That might have worked on me and I had to do that when I was 8, but I ain't doing it when I'm 38. I ain't doing it. My mom's one of my greatest friends. My dad's one of my best friends. He annoys the fire out of me sometimes, but I love him to death. You know, I'm thankful to become friends with my parents. When I was a teenager, we were not friends. They were the parents, and I was the child, and I didn't have a whole lot of say-so what happened in that house. There was one thing my parents were determined. When I was in that home, when their children were at home, they were not going to let Satan uproot our family. They were not going to let Satan pull our family out of the ground and drift us around and pull us around and take us every which way. They were stabilized. They were in Christ. And I might do things a little different, but I'm thankful for a mom and dad that loved Jesus enough to put Him in my life and show me what is right and what is wrong. 2 Timothy 3, and verse number 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." And guess what? All of those people, all of those kind of people are after your family. You've got to have your family rooted in Christ. You've got to have your life rooted in Christ. You've got to have your marriage rooted in Christ. You've got to have your children rooted in Christ. You've got to get to church and be rooted in Christ. You've got to get in God's Word and be rooted in Christ. There's truce breakers and covenant breakers and unfaithful and unholy and people without natural affection and false accusers, incontinent people, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and proud, that are after your wife, that are after your husband. Get rooted in Christ. Amen. This year, we need to be rooted in Christ because of the uprooting and the constant barrage of the uprooting of the family. We're seeing many Christian families today who are not rooted in Christ, drifting away from their vows and from God's plan for them as husbands and wives and dads and moms and children in the home. Lastly tonight, number 5, we need to be rooted in Christ because the ancient landmarks are being removed. Because the ancient landmarks are being removed. In the Old Testament days, a landmark was a literal pillar at the corner of a field, marking property ownership. It denoted the position of each family's property. They would mark off the corners of their property with a literal pillar. It would show those around them, that is the landmark, that is our property, that is what we own, that is who we are. In Proverbs, Solomon used this as an illustration to teach about ancient landmarks and character posts of society, many of which are being removed in our culture today. In Proverbs 22:28, he says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Listen, there's just some doctrines we need to nail down this year. There's just some beliefs that we've got to have in our life that we've got to pass on to our children. We say, look at that pillar right there. That is salvation. You know you're saved when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and His shed blood on the cross. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The gift of God is salvation. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. And I'm telling you, son, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at that pillar. That's salvation, son. You can be saved. You can know without a shadow of a doubt Jesus Christ is your Savior and heaven is your home. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 that ye can know that ye have eternal life. The difference between people who believe that they have eternal life and people who believe that you can lose your salvation, here it is that when we get saved, the Bible says we are saved at that moment. We're not saved down the line. We got eternal life the moment we got saved. And if I died right now, I'd have eternal life. And if I died 5 years ago, I would have had eternal life. And if I died 50 years from now, I have eternal life because I know that I know that I know that I have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, I believed in His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, we need to set that landmark for our children. What a great landmark. They don't have to worry, how are we going to get to heaven and how does this all work and how good do I have to be and how many times do I have to be? No, that's a landmark. Baptism is one of those landmarks. Baptism is one of those things we say we identify with Christ. We know that we're saved and we trust Jesus Christ our Savior. We get baptized. We tell everybody that we're saved by getting baptized. We stand in the water as a picture of His death. We're buried in the likeness of His death. We are raised in the likeness of His resurrection to walk in newness of life. God commands us after baptism to walk in a different way. To live in a different way. That's a landmark, child. That's a landmark, sir. That's a landmark, mom. That's a landmark, dad. That's a landmark that we need to set up for our children and make sure they know. There's landmarks of the virgin birth. There's a landmark of the inerrant Word of God, the perfect Word of God that God has given us. to read and to study and to meditate upon. That's a landmark for us. The local church is one of those landmarks. It's in a community, and in the community we're supposed to meet together, and we're supposed to get our marching orders, and we're to go into the world and be good soldiers of the cross and tell others about Jesus who died on the cross. That's a landmark, friend. The Bible says, remove not the ancient landmarks. Jesus Christ is one of those landmarks. Your children need to know who God is. Your children need to know who Jesus Christ is. Your children need to know who the Holy Spirit of God is. They need to know these things because they are landmarks in their life. And when they begin to walk off and they begin to question and they begin to kind of wander around and say, I don't know about this whole Christianity thing. I don't know about that religion that mom and dad have. And all of a sudden they come upon a pillar and they say, wait a second, Dad told me about that. Dad told me about that salvation. Dad told me about that virgin birth. Dad told me about the Bible. Dad told me about baptism. My dad told me about Sunday school and learning the Bible line upon line. God told me through my mom and my dad these things. And maybe one day your child will run into one of those pillars and you trained them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they don't depart from it because you didn't remove the ancient landmarks. And Bible Baptist Church has to stand for something. Bible Baptist Church has to stand strong. Why? Because the ancient landmarks are being removed. It's not about the local church anymore, and it's not about a perfect Word of God, and it's about the thoughts of God and the ideas of God, and it's about getting an extra word of knowledge, and it's about not really knowing for sure you're saved, and you've got to be good, and you've got to do this, and you've got to work, and you've got to get there somehow, and you've got to hope and pray, and all of those things. And the ancient landmarks in some people's lives are just being removed. We've got to be careful of that. So I'm telling you today why we need to be rooted in Christ. Because there's false teachers and false teachings in our world today that we must guard against. We need to be rooted in Christ because of the cultural drift away from God. We need to be rooted in Christ because of the pull of our own flesh. We need to be rooted in Christ because of the constant barrage of the uprooting of the family that is taking place in this country. We need to be rooted in Christ because the ancient landmarks that we have always known and always loved and always read in God's Word are being removed as we speak. Don't let it happen in your family. Don't let it happen on your watch. Don't let it happen while your children are in your home. Teach them. Train them. Tell them the Word of God. Don't depend on some Sunday school teacher. Don't expect the pastor to do all of it. Don't expect a Christian school teacher to do it. You set up the ancient landmarks. You make sure they're repaired. And you make sure they're beautiful. And you make sure that they understand what those landmarks mean. So that we, as God's people in 2017, can say, we are rooted in Christ. Why? Because it is a bad world we're living in, and it's only going to wax worse and worse. And the storms are going to blow harder, and the droughts are going to get longer. And we have got to have our families rooted in Christ before the storms ever happen. We can survive if we'll grow. Would you stand together before a word of prayer this evening?